David defeated lions, bears, privately, but he killed Goliath publicly. So you're never going through a battle where God's not preparing you to bring down something bigger and that matters more in the future.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. Welcome to another edition of Life Talk. Today we're starting a brand new message titled, He Prepares, He Anoints. This is part 5 of the series called The Shepherd, a study of the 23rd Psalm. To introduce the message, here's Pastor Jeff.
As we continue today in our study of the timeless 23rd Psalm, let's keep in mind that the 23rd Psalm is written by David, who had been a shepherd long before he was a king. So he writes this beloved psalm from the viewpoint of a genuine, experienced shepherd with intimate knowledge of taking care of sheep. In the context of this fifth verse we will look at this time, is that the sheep are approaching the high mountain country where they will spend the summer months. These ranges are known as tablelands or mesas, the Spanish word for tables. So when David says in the first half of verse 5, "You prepare a table before me," he's not talking about a dinner table, but the entire summer range where the sheep are going to graze. Today's message is going to be a real eye-opener, and I can't wait to share it. So let's get started as I share the message, He Prepares, He Anoints. So let's read it together. Are you ready? It's up there on the screen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table, here's verse 5, before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Amen. Now I want you to notice verse 5. Here's David. He says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over." Now, it's important to keep in mind as we finish out this psalm that the 23rd Psalm was written by David, who had been a shepherd long before he was a king. So he writes this beloved psalm from the viewpoint of a genuine shepherd with intimate knowledge of taking care of real, genuine sheep. Now, the context of the fifth verse is that the sheep are approaching, now this is real shepherding we're talking about now. The sheep are approaching the high mountain country being led by the shepherd. This really happens in the life of a sheep where they're going to spend the summer months. So the shepherd in verse 5 is taking them to high mountain country where they're going to spend the hot summer months. And these ranges are known as tablelands or mesas. Mesa is the Spanish word for table. So when David says, "You prepare a table before me," he's not talking about a dinner table. I mean, how many of you have ever thought that? Oh, God's preparing a dinner table. I've preached it that way before, and I was totally wrong. Because he's not talking about a dinner table, but the entire summer range where the sheep will graze. It's called a tableland. Early in the season, even before the snow is gone, he'll go up ahead of them to survey the land. And he takes along a supply of salt and minerals to be distributed over the range at strategic spots for the benefit of the sheep. So here's the idea. He's going to be taking them upward, up to a mountaintop experience. He's taking them up, and before he takes them, he's going ahead of them. And he's preparing the table, the range, the place where they're going to graze. He inspects the grass and other vegetation in the area, and he's looking for poisonous weeds, and he aggressively removes them, or he will lead the sheep to areas where they don't exist. So he's going ahead of them to prepare a table before them. The whole idea is this, everybody. Our shepherd, our real good shepherd, the good shepherd of the sheep, Jesus Christ, is always going ahead of us into our future, waiting for us to arrive. And he's preparing our arrival. Amen? So all of this was in the back of David's mind when he wrote these lines. He thought of how God shepherded him through his word to guide him safely amongst predators and dangers. We think of Psalms like 119, the longest psalm in the whole Bible, the longest chapter in the entire Bible is Psalms 119. And look how God shepherds us in these psalms and shepherded David. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to what? Your word. So God's word keeps us pure. Listen, there's no way that you and I are ever going to walk in purity in this filthy, wicked, reprobate, depraved culture unless the Word of God is keeping us pure. Amen. Amen? So wherewithal shall a young man or a young woman cleanse their way? By listening to and meditating on His Word. And then in another verse from Psalms 119, he says, "Direct my steps by your Word." How does he direct our steps? By his word. And look what he goes on to pray. Don't let any iniquity have dominion over me. Lord, don't let any sin get its grip on me, but keep me free. So God's word guides us. Direct my steps by your word. Amen? And here's one more out of Psalms 119. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. This is David talking. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, for I do not forget your commandments. So here he's telling us God's word retrieves us when we stray. Amen? How many of you have ever strayed from the Lord in your life? The rest of you, you're straying right now. Not being truthful. Because everybody strays a little bit, right? So, and what brought you back? The word of God. Guarantee you it was the word of God. Now, notice how David always connected God's shepherding with the word of God. He said, how does God shepherd me? He shepherds me by his word. And David knew that as he went ahead of the sheep to prepare the tablelands for their arrival, our own great good shepherd likewise goes ahead of us in every situation, anticipating what dangers we're going to encounter and praying for us that in it we might not succumb. Amen. See, when you are approach with a trial, God knew that that was coming the whole time. I know I say it a lot, but I'll say it again. God never says, well, I'll be. Never. Because when you and I encounter a trial, God knew that it was coming. And God had already gone ahead to prepare us to go through the trial, survive the trial, be strengthened in the trial, and come out on the other side of the trial better than before we went in. That's the ministry of our shepherd. Can we thank him for that? He's praying for us. And not only does the shepherd clear out the poisonous weeds and find the best grass for the sheep to graze in, he also looks out for the predators of the area. Wolves, coyotes, cougars, bears regularly raid and kill sheep. And they did in David's day. Remember when David told Saul when he was about to go face Goliath, he said, look, I've killed a lion with my bare hand, and I've killed a bear with my bare hand. And what were they doing? They were attacking my father's sheep. And he's such a type of Christ here. David is such a type of Christ here because they weren't even his sheep. They were his father's sheep, Jesse's sheep. But because they were his father's sheep, when the lion came against them, David said, no, he's put me in charge. Picture Jesus saying this, because God loves you. And who's our shepherd? His name is Jesus. And when the predators come for you and me, what does he say? I'll lay my life down to protect you from the predators. I'll lay my life down to fight for you so that you are not devoured by the predators. So David grabbed that lion, and I believe this. I believe that's how he learned the anointing of God. Because when he grabbed that lion, it says in the Bible he grabbed him by the beard with his hand. Now, folks, you got to be under a serious anointing to grab a lion by his chin and with your bare hand. I think he took him down, killed him with his bare hands under the anointing of God, and walked away and got the shakes. What did I just do? I can't believe I just did. And what was he learning? He was learning when you're doing God's will and you're fighting God's battle, there is an anointing that comes upon you that is not of you or from you or by you, but it moves through you to destroy something you could never destroy on your own. Amen. Amen. Same thing happened with the bear. So he had a dead lion in his past that he killed under the anointing. A dead bear that he killed under the anointing. That's why when he faced Goliath, he had confidence. Because he said, God gave me that lion, God gave me that bear, and he told Goliath, God will give you to me. See, God carries us through battles no one knows about. No one knows about. See, when David killed that lion, there was nobody there. He was off in the wilderness somewhere, just like the setting of this psalm. And he was just herding sheep. And here comes a lion and grabbed one of the sheep. And this anointing came upon him, and he did this incredible feat with nobody looking. And God was teaching his future giant killer how to move in the anointing. That greater was he that is in him than he that is in the world. And see, God will allow you and me to go through battles in the wilderness where nobody's looking, but God and maybe a couple of angels. And in your private battles, you learn to take down a lion of temptation, a lion of fear, a lion of doubt, a lion of stress, a lion of worry, whatever your lion is, you take it down. And you go, whoa, how'd I do that? And God says, you did it by the anointing of my spirit and by using my word. Now, do we not see the same thing in Jesus? When Jesus fought the devil in the wilderness, there was nobody there. And he went up against the devil and defeated him by the word of God. And so he defeated the devil privately before he ever faced him publicly. David defeated giants, lions, bears, privately, but he killed Goliath publicly. So you're never going through a battle where God's not watching and God's not teaching you and God's not preparing you to bring down something bigger and that matters more in the future. So important. Come on, everybody, it's so important. So that's why I tell you all the time, God never wastes a pain. He never wastes a battle. Amen? Now, these predators, the lions and wolves and coyotes, cougars, bears, they could often be seen as the shepherd was taking the sheep up towards the mountaintop, up towards the tableland where he was going to let them graze. He would be able to see these predators peering over the rim rock, watching every move the sheep make, waiting for an opportune moment to pounce. And only the alertness of the shepherd could keep them safe. Before you ever spot your enemy, your shepherd's already seen him. And your shepherd has already got him in the crosshairs. And your shepherd already knows what he's up to. You know, nobody knows the wiles of the devil like Jesus does. Our good shepherd does the very same thing for us. He knows every wile and trick of the devil and of his demons. And Scripture rightly compares our adversary to a predator, a predatory-like animal. Peter said, he's like a lion walking about, seeking somebody to devour. And literally, the Greek is to eat alive. Peter, by the Spirit of God, compared our enemy to a predatory beast. And Jesus sees him when he's making a move on us. I said, Jesus sees him. See, when you wake up and you go, wow, I think I'm in a battle, Jesus knew it when it started. Jesus knew it before it ever started. We're usually late to the game. Have you ever noticed that? We say, we're in a battle, and the Lord says, you realize that now? I saw it a month ago. But now you're finally realizing you're not dealing with flesh and blood. You're dealing with principalities and powers. About time you saw it. A classic example of this, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, is when Jesus warned Peter that Satan had asked to sift him like wheat. We see that Jesus was already out in front of the devil. He already knew what Satan was up to, and Peter was oblivious. He hadn't a clue what the devil was about to attempt to do to him. But Jesus saw it. He's the shepherd. He's taking Peter. I mean, Peter was headed towards Pentecost. Peter was headed towards the greatest mountaintop of his life. And Jesus spotted what the devil was going to try to do to him to knock him out of the race before he got filled with the Spirit and became the preacher at Pentecost. Do you see this? See, some of you, you're experiencing an increased battle, warfare in your life right now. Has it occurred to you, you might be headed towards a mountaintop experience, and the devil knows about it, and the devil's trying to derail you and knock you off the saddle before you get there to experience what God is preparing for you? Come on. Amen. Because Peter was about to step into the whole reason he was born. And Jesus said, Peter, I know this. I've got an inside track. The devil has asked for you to sift you like wheat. He's going to try to take you out, Peter. But then Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. See how he's in front of the game? I've prayed for you that your faith won't fail. Notice he didn't pray that he wouldn't experience the trial. He prayed that when you do experience the trial, I'm praying your faith survives. Come on, everyone. How many of you have ever wished the Lord would have prayed to prevent you from ever even seeing the trial, right? But he's not going to do that because he's not raising sissies. He's raising men and women of God with steels of spine who know how to have victory spiritually. So he lets us go through things. Now, here Jesus says, I prayed for you that your faith won't fail. And when you have returned to me, so there Jesus already knew Peter was going to fail and walk away and return to fishing, try to go back to his old life. And when you've returned to me, Peter, you're going to strengthen your brethren. So Jesus saw the devil, as it were, peering over the rim rock of hell at Peter and stepped in to pray for his disciple. Peter survived the fierce trial and the predator, and Satan was defeated. Satan was defeated. And just as a little aside, this is free. This has nothing to do with Psalms 23. But have you ever noticed in all the disciples' writings, all the epistles, not one disciple ever mentions Peter's fall? Have you ever thought about that? They didn't rag on him. They didn't undermine him. They didn't talk about his failure. It's hush. They never talked about it. You say, well, why would that matter? Because Peter fell hard, but he got up powerful. And they focused more on his writings and his apostleship than they did his fall. And that's the way we need to do one another. Everybody messes up. But we don't focus on your fall. We focus on your recovery. Amen? We focus on your restoration. We focus on you coming back and doing damage to the kingdom of the devil. Now, another thing the shepherd does before leading his sheep to the tablelands is check out the watering holes, the springs, and the drinking places. And he'll find these things and he'll remove twigs. He removes leaves and stones and dirt that may have fallen into the water source. He wants the sheep to have clean, pure drinking water. Now, you already know where I'm going with this. The parallel for us Christians is obvious. Our good shepherd has already gone ahead of us and prepared a glorious source of pure, clean, spiritual water. And there's several of them. One of them you hold in your hand, but I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But the other one is living inside of you. He gave his word, which Paul said Jesus uses to cleanse us like water. He gave us his word. Say with me, the word. The word is a source of water, spiritual water. Listen to this verse, Ephesians 5:26. That he might sanctify her, talking about us, the church, having cleansed her, talking about us. How? by the washing of water with what? Say it with me. The Word. So when we read the Word, we are literally experiencing our souls being washed by spiritual water. Have you ever just, when you come out of time in God's Word, you feel so clean. You feel so good. Have you ever noticed that? That's because you got washed. The Lord washes us with the water of the Word. And He also gave us His Spirit. He made sure that we had good spiritual drinking water. He gave us His Spirit, which He compared to water. Isaiah 12, verse 3 says, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." Well, that's not talking about H2O. That's talking about the well of salvation. And what kind of water comes out of the well of salvation? The Holy Spirit. He told the woman at the well that He had water, speaking of the Holy Spirit, that once she drank of, she would never thirst again. And she said, "Give me some of this water." And He said, then He messed with her stuff. He said, "Okay, you want some of that water? Go get your husband." She said, "Oh, Lord, now you're going where we don't really need to go because I don't really have a husband." He said, "You're right. You're shacked up." Now, what was He doing? He was getting her to repent of her sin so that He could give her living water. And this woman ended up being the first New Testament evangelist, going into the town preaching, "Come see a real man. Come see a real man who told me everything I ever did." And the whole town turned out to see Jesus, and the Bible says many of them were saved because of this woman. Now, keep in mind, how many of you are being blessed tonight? Amen? Aren't you glad for our good shepherd? Now, keep in mind that the tableland was on the mountaintop. It was a mountaintop experience for these sheep to be led by the shepherd along the winding paths leading up to the tableland, which was at the mountaintop. And the Christian walk is often a mountaintop experience where our good shepherd leads us to a spiritual high point. I've had several really spiritual, powerful high points. I'm so thankful to God for it. It was the high points where I got called. It was the high points. And man, when God gives you a spiritual high point, soak it up. You're going to need it, because the journey is long. Remember when God told Elijah, the angel told Elijah, "You better eat this wonder bread and really take advantage of what I'm giving you, because the journey is too far for you without supernatural bread." So when God gives us a spiritual blessing that is a high point, that's exactly what a real shepherd does with his sheep. He takes them up to these plateaus, these tablelands that are in the mountaintops. And He has prepared the table in plain view, the table for you and me, in plain view of the devil, who would like to demoralize and destroy us if he could. That's what he was trying to do with Peter. He was trying to demoralize him and destroy him through shame, because Peter denied Christ. But Jesus came and restored him, and boy, did he go to a mountaintop shortly with the day of Pentecost and being filled with the Holy Spirit. But now, speaking of mountaintop experiences, I want to keep it real. Even though the shepherd goes ahead of the sheep to prepare the way, it does not mean they're not going to have problems. I am never going to sit here and tell you, "Oh, if you really follow Jesus and you really become a disciple of His and you really bear down and you put your arms tight around the Lord and you press in strong and you pray all the time and read the Bible all the time, you're going to be insulated in a special little spiritual bubble." No way. Sometimes you have worse battles because the devil sees what's happening to you and he attacks.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Pastor Jeff. If you happen to miss part of this broadcast, or if you want to listen to this message again, you can do so by visiting our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you will have access to plenty of resources available to you. You can download and listen to our daily podcast messages to start your day off right and encourage you throughout the day. You can also get full access to current and previous Life Talk Radio broadcasts and catch up on any sermons that you have missed. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, Give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support of Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111 or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. You've been listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Join us again next time as we continue the message, He Prepares, He Anoints, in this series called The Shepherd, a study of the 23rd Psalm. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again on our next Life Talk broadcast. Until next time, may God richly bless you.